Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
I pray specifically for any of you who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're exploring Christianity. Maybe you think you're a Christian when you don't actually have a relationship with Christ. I pray that God might use today to introduce you to a relationship with God, marked by a passionate pursuit for Him. I also pray for people who have been Christians for many years, maybe even decades. I pray that God's Spirit would ignite your heart today to pursue Him with greater and deeper passion than you have ever had before. Amen. Now, all this leads to the question, why are we talking about prayer today? Today, we take a deeper look at the gift of prayer. It can be a catalyst for change. It means you can initiate change. How prayer in our lives can help us follow Jesus. And when I use the term prayer, I like to define my terms. So when I use the term prayer, I'm specifically referring to, pretty plainly, having a conversation with God. Now, when you think about that, isn't it interesting that you can talk to God, that you can talk with God, that you can converse with God? Amen. But how does it work? When does God answer and not answer? Or maybe you wonder, why pray when God already knows what I need? Doesn't He? Why pray when God has already determined what will happen? How does that work? What do I do when it feels like I'm praying into thin air? Like I'm just saying words, but they're not doing anything or going anywhere. Is anybody listening? How do I know what God is leading me to do in my life? Some of us say things like, I prayed about it and God led me to do this. Others might wonder, how do you know God led you to do that? Did you hear a voice? Did you have some feeling? How do you know? And if you heard a voice or if you had a feeling, what is that like? How do I have that feeling? How do I know it's from God, not just something I'm making up myself? How many of you can relate to any of those questions this morning? I definitely can. Now, prayer is one of the most basic Christian practices. It comes easy to some of us. It comes more difficult to some of us as well. And depending on our situation, things can be easy or difficult. But it's a basic Christian practice. And yet, we have basic questions about it. Did you know that the word prayer is mentioned in the Bible over 600 times? Or that the Bible actually contains at least 650 different prayers? Or that we have at least 25 specific prayers prayed by Jesus as sample prayers? Given those numbers, I would say that prayer is extremely important and a central part of who we are and our relationship with God. Prayer is one of the simplest, most significant things that we can do as believers. It helps us strengthen our connection with God, and it helps deepen our faith. Few Christians, at least in our culture, have a regular practice of prayer. Few of us do it. Most of us avoid it. Which means we're avoiding something that God has designed for us. We're avoiding something that God's people have done for ages. Something that God instructs us to do. And it's never good to avoid something that God instructs us to do. Avoiding what God instructs us to do is a symptom of deeper trouble. For we are all every single one of us, time and time again, tempted to quit our pursuit of God. And when I say pursuit of God, I'm referring to that all-consuming quest to know, enjoy, worship, and love God. Do you want to know God? Do you want to enjoy God? Do you want to worship God? And do you want to love God? I do. I want my life's aim to simply be to know, enjoy, worship, and love God. But we're all tempted to stop our pursuit of Him. When we think about why we don't pursue God with all we have and all we are, I think there's many reasons. Our hearts can go casual in the pursuit of God. We think that we're self-sufficient. Sometimes we actually think that we can carry on our lives on our own. We're always busy, or so we say, because there's always time for what we want. We're pursuing so many other things. We're easily distracted. Now think about it for a second. If you sit silently in a spot, what happens? How long before you suddenly start searching for your phone to look for someone to talk to? Or something to watch? Silence and solitude seem to be a foreign concept to most of us. We're constantly entertained or looking to be entertained. One of our passages today focuses on the importance of prayer. And this passage takes place in one of the greatest sermons ever preached. And that was from Jesus. It was a Sermon on the Mount. In his sermon, Jesus covers several topics, but we're focusing on the part he talked about prayer and about how prayer can change our lives. Thank you to Nigel for reading the scripture this morning. And I'm going to reread it here quickly for us. Matthew 7:7-11. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if you ask for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I see this passage broken down in two different sections. The second section gives us meaning and insight on the first. In verses 9 to 11, Jesus uses the image of a good-willed earthly father to help us understand how prayer has the power to change us. He says, if a son asks for bread, surely a father would not give him a stone. Or if they ask for a fish, a father wouldn't give the child a snake. So if an earthly father can respond to our children's requests in a way that is best for them, shouldn't we be able to trust our Heavenly Father to do the same? To be clear, I realize that this illustration has a way of breaking down for some, because there are some earthly fathers who don't make decisions to treat their children with their best interest in mind. However, that is not what I'm talking about here. What Jesus is speaking about is a good-willed earthly father who wants to bless his children. Jesus tells us that as we are part of him and he's part of us, we can see God as our father. We can see ourselves as children of his. God is our heavenly father. In the same scripture, in verses 7 to 9, Jesus offers three action words that help us discern how to interact with him when we pray, and how prayer can change us. Jesus begins with three words regarding our prayer life: ask, seek, and knock. In the Greek language, these are called imperatives. It means that they're commands from God. But even more than that, they're actually considered present imperatives, which means that it's not just a one-time command. We are commanded to keep doing it continuously. So it's keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. We find as we read that there is a unique feature in them. There's a progressive intensity that goes from verse 7 to verse 9. As you ask, it will be given to you. As you seek, you will find. As you knock, it will be opened for you. First, we're instructed to ask. This is the simplest of the three forms of action. When we ask for something, we're making a request. We're anticipating something in return. God, please provide this for me. God, please help me with this situation. God, please, I need this or I need that. When we ask, we're not demanding. We're polite, we're patient, but we ask with confidence. Confidence in the ability God has to act on our behalf. Whenever my daughter Eden comes to me and she asks me for something, she has no doubt that whatever she asks, I can do. Now, that it's mostly true. She'll ask me for a cup of milk. I can do that. I can get her a cup of milk. She asked me to help her color something. I can do that. I can sit and color with her. She asked me to help her zip her jacket up. I can do that. The problem comes when she comes to me and she says, Papa, teach me how to play the piano. I can't. I'm at my limit. I can't teach you how to play the piano. But she asks, knowing that I love her and I want to give her everything she wants. She asks with confidence. We ask God with confidence because, unlike me, we have a God that has no limits. Let me say that again. We ask God with confidence because we have a God that has no limits. Amen? He parted the Red Sea. He fed the Israelites with manna in the middle of the desert. He put on human flesh and became one of us. And he raised Jesus from the dead. We also have a God who loves us unconditionally with everlasting love. So we bring our requests to him, trusting that there's nothing that is too big for our Heavenly Father. The second here, Jesus commands us to seek. While asking for some relies on the response of who you're asking from, right? So when we ask, we expect somebody to respond to us. When we seek, there's a little bit more work that takes place. We seek because we're looking for something. When I can't find something, I seek it out. And that normally means I ask Jess, have you seen this? But I'm seeking it. I'm looking for it. Seeking takes more effort on our part. It requires for us to strive even more when we can't find the things that we need or want. And because of this extra effort, sometimes it feels bothersome. How many of you get frustrated when you can't find something? You keep looking and looking and you can't find it. You ask for help and you still can't find it. It's bothersome. It's frustrating. Sometimes the things we're seeking remain elusive. But we go on seeking because it's important to us. We need to find what we're looking for. So when Jesus commands us to seek in our prayer life, he has a way of maturing us, refining us, teaching us, strengthening us, and changing us. Jesus says, seek with expectancy. Expect to find what you're looking for. There have been times in my life when I have searched for the heart of God. I have searched for the right answer to my circumstances. I have searched for guidance on making the right choice. When he responds through either the mundane or the miraculous, he has taught me to keep seeking, because when I do, I discover a deeper relationship with God. I realize that he is with me in my seeking. Just like when I ask Jessica to help me find stuff, and she's there looking for stuff, seeking with me. God is always seeking with us. Jesus also commands us to knock. Now, there's two obvious things to notice about knocking. When we're knocking, that means that there's something in between you or wherever you want to go. Right? There's a door. You're knocking on the door. There's an element of resistance. There's something in the way. If the door were already open, we wouldn't need to knock. We just walk through. This action of knocking indicates that there's indeed a door that can be open. But does God promise to open all doors? No. He promises to open the door that is best for you in that circumstance. Jesus is teaching us, therefore, the significance of steadfast and passion in our prayer life to keep on knocking until the right door is open, because it most likely will not be the first door that we knock on. Having a prayer life of persistence makes us resilient people. Who here has heard about Usain Bolt? Who knows who Usain Bolt is? He's a record-holding Jamaican sprinter. For his career, he's won many races. But there are specific races where he has ran for a total of 2 minutes. 2 minutes in all his races. And those 2 minutes have given him 8 gold medals at 3 different Olympics. And he has made $119 million for running for 2 minutes. However, we often forget that he has trained for over 20 years. 20 years of training for a total of 120 seconds of running. Is that persistence? That is the kind of dedication praying and persistence takes. There may be hours of knocking that result in one single answered prayer in our life. And that's okay. God wants us to be persistent in our prayer. God wants us to keep knocking on the door. He would open the right door for us. When it comes to praying to our good-willed Father, Heavenly Father, we are commanded to keep knocking on the door. On the door of opportunity, on the door of possibility, and on the door of potential. Knowing that the door we stand before may not open right away, and that the closed door may lead us to another one that will open, it will be a better one for us in the end. Every one of us in this room has situations, circumstances, desires, and emergencies that Jesus tells us to bring to him. We are invited to ask with confidence. To seek with expectancy, and to knock with persistence. What I have found to be true in my life is that the answers to our prayers typically come as a yes, a no, or a not yet. This is the top part about this passage, that God defines good differently than we do. Sometimes when we pray, we are given exactly what we asked for, and almost immediately. While other times we're told no for our protection. And other times the answer is not yet. because the timing is not right. Sometimes I'm afraid that I tend to pray the way I used to make requests to my good-willed earthly father. I will tell my dad what I wanted. I will tell my dad what I needed. And then I would rationalize it and tell him, this is why I need it, this is why I want it. And then I would tell him how I wanted him to answer, how I wanted him to respond. And if he didn't tell me exactly what I wanted to hear, I did what most kids do. I went and talked to mom and told mom to go talk to dad. I had a tendency to do whatever I needed to do to get what I wanted, regardless of what my parents thought was best for me. The key is to remember that we have a good-willed Heavenly Father who is responding to our confident asking, expectant seeking, and persistent knocking. In a way that has the best for us in His mind. God has the best for you in His mind. God does not respond to our prayers out of anger or frustration, but out of everlasting love for us. We have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who knows what's best for us and responds to our prayers out of love, out of mercy, and from a perspective that is eternal in nature. Prayer, like I said, is a powerful tool for any believer. One of the most profound outcomes of practicing an ask, seek, and knock prayer life is the change that takes place inside of us. This change was described by Paul in Philippians, which thank you, Lasso, for reading it for us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here comes the key. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. There is a peace that comes to us that cannot be explained when we bring in our situations to God or our circumstances to God. He gives us peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. When we place it all at His feet, we can trust that He knows what is best. We don't have to manipulate or control the situation like I tried to do with my parents. Because we believe that God has our best interest in mind. Fear and doubt have a tendency of attacking our hearts and our minds. It cripples our emotions. And it clouds our thinking. But prayer can guard us from doubt and fear. With God's help, this practice can become a daily part of our lives that changes us from the inside out over time. Without making prayer a priority, however, we can easily allow our hearts and our minds to be vulnerable, to be distracted. The attacks come. The devil is persistent. We will always be tempted to stop our pursuit of God. Early African converts to Christianity were earnest in regular private devotions and prayer. And each one of them had a spot in the thicket. Does everybody know what the thicket means? Is it, you know, when you have a field, it's specific. Either the woods or you have plantations, or you just find it's the thicket, it's where everything is. So each one of them has a specific spot that they went to do their individual devotions, to do their daily prayers. But what's interesting is they did it so continuously, so devotedly, that as they went to their own spot in the thicket, you could see the ground as they walked, and there was no grass growing on that path anymore. So they used to hold each other accountable and say, brother, you need to pray more. How do they? Why would they say that? Because they would see the grass growing on their path, which means that they hadn't got to their spot to pray. and to do their devotions. And let me clarify, I don't want just to go to each other and say there's grass growing on your path. That's not something we want to do. But it's an encouragement for us to find the time in our daily busy lives to pray. Choose a time, choose a place, when and where you can be consistent. Daily, ask, seek, and knock. Ask with confidence. Seek with expectancy. Knock with persistence. So that your mind stays connected to our loving Heavenly Father, and let the power of prayer change you. Amen? Join me in prayer. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a loving Father. We thank you that you have what's best for us in mind. We ask you to help us pray continually. We ask you to help us have conversations with you on a regular basis. Through Jesus, you commanded us to ask, seek, and knock. And I ask you to help each one of us ask with confidence, seek with expectancy, and to knock with persistence. We pray all this in your name. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship to come up and lead us in worship.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.